I am unashamed. What about you?
So I come in, Jace is on his computer, which must mean he's... Are you buying or selling, Jace?
Oh, I'm buying. The market is down. It's been on a... been on a downward spiral.
So that's when you trim it up and buy your stuff.
Well, what has happened is panic and fear has seized the stock market world.
Would you say the whole bunch have kind of a herd mentality?
Yeah, it's a herd mentality. I mean, it's not a whole lot different than when people didn't even know there was a stock market and they were herding cattle and all of a sudden they began to stampede.
That is going to give the customary William Shakespeare quote that you do every time.
I think it was Shakespeare. It might have been somebody else. A situation becomes a crisis when cattle or women stampede.
Yeah.
I always like to get a little misogyny in early into the podcast.
Or investors. You need to add a three. I added a third point. But you are complimenting me, so I appreciate it, that I always have a smile on my face.
Well, look, so Dad said that. So somebody had sent me this, Jace. This is quoting the great Judge Snells from Caddyshack, and I thought this fits Jace perfectly. It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat, but the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his pants are too tight in the seat. Remember that from Caddyshack?
No. I guess it was one of those you had to be there. No, I find the spiritual, you know, my spiritual.
He was christening a boat, and
Well, what I was going to say, though, is when you're an investor, but you have that way down the list on importance of bringing real meaning, purpose, and joy to your life, it makes you a savvy investor. Because you realize what you're seeing are fear and greed just bringing forth. Because a lot of people have put all their hopes and dreams in money.
Yep.
Well, that's a dead end.
Well, the Apostle Paul said the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. People exactly. Who want to get rich fall into many temptations. And
have you ever thought about it? People think money brings happiness, then they get a bunch of it, and they're actually, at the end of the day, more miserable if their priorities are not right.
We've said this before. We know a lot of wealthy people who are very unhappy. They have a lot of stuff, but they have no peace of mind. Yeah,
none.
Which is what comes directly from that.
People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith, and pierced themselves, all they're doing, evidently, with many griefs. You, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, and love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And our man from California will confess Jesus is Lord before he is baptized today. So
I love it because everybody's like, who's the man from California? It reminds me.
I just threw him in because I'm talking about people who get tangled up. I'm just telling my younger son here, your younger brother, don't get really. That text is enough to scare me, kind of, you know, be satisfied.
What was that text?
Be satisfied with what you.
Where was
that's,
that?
Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy. No, that's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy.
Read both Timothys and you'll find it. But
yeah, 2 Timothy, it's in there.
It's in there. What I was going to say is, though, I realized a long time ago, of course, it came from us coming from nothing. Phil was telling the story in the duck blind this morning which is the main reason we go duck hunting. The, you know, the camaraderie and the story. I mean, we laughed today at old Uncle Si.
First Timothy 6.
As hard as I've ever laughed in my life.
Was Si on a roll?
He was on a roll today, boys.
Well, it was because he had some new audience, because Dr. Deans was there, who's Jay's buddy from Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And Si gets a new audience. You know, she kind of goes into.
I have to admit, though, I mean, Si, he's the only man, Phil pointed this out, that I don't know why he's blowing a duck call. Most of the ducks at this stage of the year, when you blow a duck call at them, they flare.
Yeah, they run.
They've heard this, that tune before. Ducks are quiet. But Si, he just likes to blow. And he blew a couple times a day. And then we just had to hear him for 5 minutes get air back into his body. Phil, you're the one. I wouldn't have put him on the spot like Phil said, you keep blowing that duck call, you're going to run out of air. But then he started laughing. Of course, he was laughing also. But what I was going to say is Phil told a story today about when you had some kind of payment you had to make on your...
Yeah, $700 banknote.
Yeah, so he went. But Phil was so confident. He was like telling the story. He was like, boys, I'm fixed to catch him. I forgot where you went, Toledo Bend or somewhere.
I went about 40 miles north of here on the river.
Yeah.
And I had to come up with $700 within, you know, 3 or 4 days. So I started early. I said, it may take me a while.
In case the Lord
I have to catch enough fish that I can sell that I'll have a $700 payment on the banknote. I told Miss Kay, I said, I'll pull it off. Just the Lord is with us.
It was a lot of moments like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the two guys with me, I said, you boys are fixing to see something you've never seen before. And I started throwing out these trot lines, hooks, hang down in the water like that. I was going to put it out and then bait it. But while I was putting it out, before I baited it, catfish was hitting it. And I'd look and I said, that's a catfish. He hit a bare hook. Why would he do that? There's no food on it. Then I just kept going. Well, we never left that trot line, and before it was over, the boat was like this much from sinking because of the weight. So I caught, on these hooks, baiting them, 1,000 pounds of catfish. And my two old running buddies who I had steered away from because they're up to no good. So when I repented, I hadn't seen them except this time afterwards when we were fishing. I said, I'm going to show you, boys, why I follow the Almighty.
So, in other words,
when it was all over, I said, have you ever seen anything like that? And they said, we have never seen a fish catching like that.
So when you read the story, throw your nets on the other side of the boat, mm-hmm. You get it, right?
It came to mind.
Phil said, hold my tea and watch this. But, you know, I'm thankful when we had humble beginnings because – you know, if you list it, I'll do an activity that will prove my point. If you said, what are 10 qualities, 10 attributes, attitudes that the top 10 that if a person has, they will be successful. So just spit them out. Confidence, perseverance.
One who has... Peace of mind.
Boldness, I would say.
All right, see, I'll get the point. None of this can you purchase with money. None of those qualities.
Correct.
You can make a list of 100. You cannot buy those attributes. Mm-hmm. You can't buy courage.
Love, joy.
You can't buy it.
Peace, remember, peace of mind, I told you. But, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Self-control, yeah, you can't buy that.
Not for sale.
Not those qualities.
I mean, you can buy
temporary
pleasures.
By the way, the little
pleasures.
Statement right after that says, against such things, there is no law.
Yeah.
Against these things, well, there's no law.
Right.
You can, that's the fruit of the spirit
right.
that you're given when you're born again.
Yeah, which is
pretty cool.
Galatians 5, which is really... you know, trying to please man or God. I mean, you can buy an experience with a prostitute mm-hmm. and call it love, but it's not love.
Nope.
Let me know how that works out.
Yep.
I mean, we're fixed to study Corinthians, where they were famous for having 1,000 sacred prostitutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Priestesses, they called them.
Yeah.
Just change the name.
And they also, thousands of years later, they refer to it in a lot of history books as having a problem with the Corinthian sickness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what that is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I said yesterday in my sermon. I said, you know, it sounds like a good idea. The American church is always trying to get more men involved. Well, the old ancient, you know, the Temple of Venus, they had plenty of men involved because that was their spiritual worship. It's all a great idea until you get syphilis and you die at 34.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Then all of a sudden, my religion is not worth a whole lot.
Yeah, right. So back to the point where y'all were talking about the stock market. So I feel like it's a good idea to invest. It's even biblical. Matthew said that. Do something. Just don't sit in it. Sit on it. But you got to be diversified. You got to look at, you're investing in companies. You can't get caught up in the panic, fear, greed. So think long term. Be diversified. I mean, it's like when you look at today, it's a really down day. All the top, everything. That's when you know it's probably a good time to throw a little money in there in the market, is when you see stuff like Amazon and Apple and NVIDIA. They make chips, but all these kinds of companies that are, they're definitely not going to go out of business.
Yeah.
When you see them just wholesale selling. It's just
I confess, I confess openly that I'm not smart enough to do that.
You know, I don't really think it's based on smart. You just kind of got to get in there. And I mean, it's a game on what people think about companies, but real money's involved. And the herd, whoever's got the most money, tends to steer the herd. But every once in a while, you got to say, hey, they're driving the herd off a cliff.
Which you could pretty much say that about a lot of things culturally. I mean, you think about how many people are driven by fear and propaganda. Yeah. You know, you just decide you're going to put something out there into the stream and then watch the masses.
But Al,
I'm 75, just to throw this in. And at 75, I'm absolutely convinced when I was 45 or 55, I just didn't see a lot of people who were saying to me, I'm going to take my own life. When I'm in my 70s, I hear that now way more often than I did 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite sure what's the fuel behind a lot of individuals who said, I don't think it's worth staying on the earth anymore. I'm just going to take my own life.
It's a great observation, Dad. And I don't know what the numbers are, but they probably back up exactly what you're talking about. I've always thought it was, one thing is a lack of emotional toughness, just outside of the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about generations. You were alive right at, or you came to the earth at a time when the whole country, people were gone for years. People died.
Yeah.
People didn't come home. They had been through a depression. I mean, people were tougher.
I was born the year after World War II.
Right.
And everybody were tired of the killing, and they were just sick of it.
I wish I knew the saying. I just saw it the
but
other day.
But that whole generation seemed to be, men were men and good, godly women were women. I mean, it was just a better place.
Yeah.
You know, I was born in 46. You know, just so as a young boy, you know, I'd hear about the ones that fought the Japs, you know, and I'd hear my uncles and my dad was in World War II, and I'd hear them all expound on it, you know, but they were one brave group of individuals, that's for sure.
So my point is, let's take a break. Yeah. So Jace, one of your heroes, what's his name, Warren Buffett? He's like the great stock market.
No, most of my heroes are centered around the Bible. However, I do know who Warren Buffett
well,
is.
Well, one thing I liked about Warren Buffett, Dad and I actually discovered this when we were doing some work for Clayton Homes, was that he's really big in the housing market.
So they said, we're going to come down and pick you up in a jet. You can give a couple of speeches, you know, and we'll pay you. And I'm like, what? I said, I know this is a crazy question, but who owns this outfit? because I was thinking, this is beyond some of them got together. And they said, Warren Buffett. I said, it's coming together. Okay. It's coming together for me now.
So he's into, my point was, he's into housing. And we know that it's important when you have to, when you're going to buy a home, you know, buy, you know, some large item, that you're going to probably have to use credit to be able to do it. So you want your credit score to be as high as it can possibly be. And so one of our sponsors is a group called Scoremaster, and they help raise your credit score immediately. Most users add 61 points in 20 days, which saves you a lot of money in the long run. So check these guys out. It only takes minutes to enroll. Visit scoremaster.com/Phil. That's scoremaster.com/Phil to get started today. My point is that hard time, there's a saying about this, and I don't know what it is, but I'll have to look it up, that hard times produce harder people, I think tougher, I think softer times.
If you have a group of individuals that are leading the charge, and when they're saying, we're coming to your country to deliver you from the scourge of Adolf Hitler, and you look at them, and all their only request is, we're not going to take over your country at all.
Right.
Our request is, give us enough ground to bury our dead. That'll do it. Mm-hmm. You're like, these people giving their life for the cause.
So
I stood there on that beach over there.
Yeah, we saw it.
Omaha Beach. I mean, I just looked at across there at the distance between the water where it hits the bank and about 400 yards at the bottom of those bluffs. And I just thought to myself, man, I'm 18 years old, and I'm fixing to get from right here to over there. I said, I don't know how they had the bravery to do it. I hoped that all the ones with the crosses that went up where they did bury our dead, and all the states were there, the ones that said, you know, Alabama, it's in Georgia, and it's in Michigan, and New York.
That's what I'm saying, Dad. We stood
the headstones.
There. We stood there on the beach. We got into a bus. We drove a mile up that bluff.
Yeah.
And there was 10,000. That's the ones who never left there.
That's correct.
I mean, and you think about why they did it.
I'm thinking at that time there were way more people who had their faith in Jesus, because any way you look at it, faith in Jesus was the only thing you had going for you when you're still going to start across 400 yards of open beach, and they're up on the bluff just pouring it to you. Woo!
Tough. So here's the saying, Jace. I found it. It's from a novel, actually. It says, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. I mean,
it's a lot of truth in that.
A lot of truth in that, the sort of the cycle. So my point is, I think that's what you've seen in us as a people in less than 100 years, in your lifetime, actually, in almost 75 years.
I watched
You've seen that
thing.
Cycle come through.
Unfortunately, I was part of that crap when I was in my 20s. But man, am I glad I got out of there.
Whew. Oh, man.
Well, I think, just like we said, the pursuit of wealth as an answer to all your problems or true joy is an illusion. So is fame.
Oh, fame is,
I mean, you
a
think
bummer.
About Hollywood.
What little we but have.
Think
it's,
about
it's
Hollywood.
A bummer.
Yep. They promise, this is kind of a joke, but not really. I thought of this the other day. They promise fame, but every episode that they produce ends with the end. Get it? Well, that was kind of fleeting, wasn't it? So, okay, I'm on a movie, and you're promising me 2 hours of fame. And guess what? The end. No truer words have ever been spoken.
That's true.
That was the end of that.
Yep.
You're like, yeah, but now people see me, and it linked because they believe that you're now a legend. Because I've seen you on TV. You were on a box.
Yeah.
Your image. I mean, it's an illusion. Just like,
but that holds true except for Marvel movies. They'll never end, I guess.
No, that's what they want you to believe. You're see, that's the sign right there that you're biting off into it. And what are all
well, they keep coming out.
But why do the Marvel movies?
They made the same Spider-Man movies with five
but
different.
But why? Because they have qualities, the superheroes, that only God has. That now that is the illusion. Show me a Marvel guy who can't do something supernaturally. Then you got a movie. Because you're just getting that from the creator of the universe.
That's right. What was the one you loved so much? The Eternals? Was it?
Yeah, and Kay got me for Christmas a little mini Eternals action figures.
Kay being your mother.
Miss Kay, my mom.
Just to clarify,
she said, here's
some random Kay.
Here's the present. Unwrap it, and it went Eternals. She said it was a gag gift.
Oh, she was on a roll this year with the gag is.
Yeah, and what I was also going to say is social media, when you were talking about now seeing people wanting to end their life more often, now you have another illusion that gives people the illusion that people like them and they have friends and followers, but nobody's going anywhere. People are following you. Where are we going? Nowhere. You're just sitting in your house. But just think about it. It's an illusion. Yeah. Oh, people are following me.
You are. What you are elaborating on is precisely why I never purchased a cell phone. Never had one.
So you
one.
Think about it. You said,
I looked at it and I said, I don't like the.
But
direction.
You're right. It's an illusion of community.
It's an illusion.
Well, right.
It's like
they're
you
like,
have a real community, but you really don't.
No, because where are we following them? It's we're following this guy on what he's going to say next, and that's an illusion. Of himself, because everybody's going to put their best foot forward. I mean, there's probably a 1% person that you're like, block. But most people.
So it's all like that.
Yeah, it's just you're just putting your best foot forward in an image. And now they're taking it even forward with the metaverse concept, where now they're trying to design software that you can like smell and taste if you lick your computer screen. Just think about this.
If you lick your,
you lick your computer screen, you can
and they
taste
wonder why I've
what
never
the guy's
had one.
Cooking.
I saw and this.
When you see me licking on my little black box, I call them.
Yeah.
At the carry-away. Everybody I've asked, amazingly, I've asked the question.
It's perfect for
no,
COVID,
I've never had a cell phone. I said, what am I missing?
Well, that's one of their selling points.
There's a slight pause when I say, what am I missing? And there's a pause, and they say, almost to the person, you're missing nothing, Mr. Robertson, nothing.
Yep.
I'm like, well, why fool with it?
Because they wouldn't get to watch Unashamed Podcast.
Most of them say, good because in my line of work, I have to have one. Yeah. I have to have one. I have to have
and
one.
And you know what his problem is? Lying. Why are we talking about
that? All right, so before we get to Corinthians, Dad, so you mentioned our man from California. I'm circling back. It made me think about the time you spoke at CPAC, and you said, just from out of nowhere, classic Phil, you're saying, who does this? He sells the audio. You're saying, who does this guy run with? I run with the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and Sampanero. It's because Dr. Sampanero, our friend, was with us on this trip. So afterwards, the internet, they were like, well, I got the Father, Son, the Spirit.
That's kind of funny.
Who is
so
Sampanero?
Saying, run with the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. And the Spirit, the ultimate counselor, and a good heart surgeon.
That's right. But it so the most people were then like, all your fans especially were like, they were guessing on what is a Sampanero. The most oft guess was that it was a weapon. It was some kind of Italian weapon.
No, it was a heart surgeon.
But they didn't know it was actually a heart surgeon, Greg Sampanero. So I thought that was pretty funny. So anyway, I thought about that when you said
well,
that.
Well, we converted him, and he asked to go on the trips. And I said, yeah, come on.
He did.
So at the time, I was just saying.
Oh, I got it, totally. But I was laughing because I looked at the audience.
I still don't get it.
He was in the audience.
They were saying, what is a Sampanero? Is it a weapon?
I don't get it.
Well, he was there. So he was
I still don't get it. But
now I've been telling him here lately, I'm off of Sampanero. Now I say Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Matt Dillon.
That's funny.
And order. Law and order. You want grace and mercy, Jesus.
Father,
you want
Son,
law and order?
Matt Dillon.
Matt Dillon.
Okay, I can respect
it can relate to that. All right, let's take another break. So we finished up our Christmas season, and which is always good. Mom did her gag gifts. She was a Jace. You got, I think, more gag gifts than anybody this year.
Yeah, I got like five.
She was really into gagging on Jace with the gifts.
I'm such an easy target.
Yeah, well, it's because you're so strange. But Christmas never ends for me because I've signed up with a company called Bespoke Post, and I love their website. It's boxofawesome.com. And they send a box every month, and it shows up at my house. So it's like a little Christmas unveiling every month. You know, it's like I get this box. I'm not exactly sure what's going to be in it. And so one of my later boxes that I got, I think a month or two ago, was the Trail box. And it had this knife in it, which I've showed you this before. I mean, a really good... You could gut a deer with that thing. You could clean a squirrel.
Everybody needs one of those.
I hope I ride by your house and see you gutting a deer. I live for that day.
Well, when you do, you'll know I'm doing it with the Box of Awesome knife. So to get started, you go to boxofawesome.com. You're going to take a quiz. You get, a new box every month. It's $45, but it has over $70 worth of gear. So every time I feel like I'm saving some money, boxofawesome.com. You get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up. Use the code Phil at checkout. So that's boxofawesome.com. Use the code Phil for 20% off your first box and come join me and Jace in our deer skinning. So our man from California is our new friend Taylor that's relocating from blue state to red state. He's going from California to Florida, so his life's about to improve.
Well, there's a lot of good hunters and God-believing people in California.
We have a lot of fans in California, including Taylor. He was listening to us in California. We're trying in the states that aren't free states. We're trying to give them the message of freedom. It's like Radio America. We're sending in the good news because we got people trapped behind enemy lines. I get it. So, Dad, I thought Taylor's going to get baptized today. So, for his benefit, but also we got a lot of people that listen that have come to the same decision he has. Like they follow Christ, but they're ready to go all in.
Yep.
So I thought maybe you give a little bit of why it's important to go all in and what that means before we get into Christ.
After the Apostle Paul went through a long list of Jesus and brought grace to us, the law was added so that the trespass sin might increase. It's even worse. Before you have a law, that's one thing. When you have a bunch of laws, there are a lot of laws. Read Leviticus and you're like, whoa. Well, all of that, where sin increased, and it did, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Now listen to this. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? So if God's going to save me and he's going to blot out every mistake I have ever committed, I'm going to give the human race a gift. It's free of charge. He's going to come down in flesh, keep the law, turn around and die to get us out from under the law and under grace. You're like, that would be a great thing. I'm not perfect. He knows it. He is perfect. So he's the only sacrifice that could be given. He's the only one that's perfect out of the whole thing. So the one who wrote the law is the perfect one who came down in flesh, became a human, just like us, and kept it, turned around and died on a cross, and was buried and raised from the dead. So watch. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Because if he's going to pay for all our sins, why don't we just live like the devil and give them to him? By no means. We died to sin. I wonder when that is. If you could ever figure out when a human being dies to sin, it's over. No more sin. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. That's when it, that's when we go through faith. We're uniting ourselves with Jesus. We're dying to sin because we know he died for our sin. We were therefore, look at what comes next, buried with him through baptism. You're now under the water, buried and gone. The old you is no longer into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So at one's baptism, that's when one does away with the old man in God's eyes, and God says, okay, you are no more. You died with me, you're buried with me, and you're raised with me. If we've been united with him in his death, we'll certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. You're like, and that's when grace comes your way. For we know that our old self, the old me, was crucified with him, Jesus, so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So it's a death, a burial, and a resurrection through our faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's the point in time when you're united with God forever. Your sins are gone. Physical death has been beaten for you. Constant mediating work. Jesus stayed 40 days to say, I died and I was buried and I was raised from the dead, just like I told you, all of you. We just went through Matthew. He said it over and over and over. We get to the Corinthian letter, and that's where he said, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you believed, received, and you have, by this gospel, you're saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you believed in vain. What I received, he was a murderer, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and raised from the dead, and you become part of that, literally part of it, when you, through faith, are baptized. Thank you for your grace, Lord, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, and the Bible.
Pretty cool.
The Bible, there's a lot of different illustrations around a person's baptism, but one of them is the idea of being, of getting married, you know, because the Ephesians, he talks about the bride of Christ. And I thought it was interesting because Taylor texted me last night and said, he said, I'm reading some scriptures in preparation of being baptized tomorrow. It's like a spiritual bachelor party. And I thought, man, that's pretty good, because without all the alcohol and naked women, when it's a spiritual thing you're doing, it's just, I want to prepare myself for having an eternal relationship as the bride of Christ. So when you're baptized not into a church, but the church.
Yep.
Into Christ.
Yep.
Into his body. And so wherever you land, wherever you grow, I always tell people, look, grow where you're planted. You know, whether it's Orlando, Florida, whether it's Canada, whether it's Africa, I mean, that's where God used you. But, you know, find some community, find some people that you can build up and can build you up. So anyway.
Well, do I get to give my advice?
Yeah.
Since we're in 1 Corinthians, I'm jumping ahead. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:17, a perhaps peculiar passage. He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize. Now, granted, there were some circumstances going on where people were putting their faith in who was doing the baptizing rather than Jesus.
I've run into that
death,
myself.
Death, and resurrection. Yep. But we said it. But to preach the gospel, which we know is Jesus.
Correct.
Who he is, what he did. Not with, or what he does probably would be a better way, since he is, not with words of human wisdom, which I love, because we don't have to be smarter. We don't have to present it certain ways. We don't have to come up with some kind of wisdom on our own to make Jesus and who he is and what he's done for everyone appealing. it's not, the pressure's not on us. That's why I always like, even if somebody just uses the little symbols or they send people a letter and talk about who God is and what he did through Jesus, it's just as powerful.
That's right.
Not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So then my advice is going to be the next verse. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So what I was going to say is, I think the phrase getting saved or being saved is something that's used so often that people in the religious world kind of take it for granted a little bit. You know, they'll say, oh, I got saved. But when you think, what did you get saved from? What does it mean to experience salvation? And really, the only thing I could think of, or the first thing that popped in my head, was healing and safety. You're healed from your sins, and you're safe from any kind of physical because of the death of Jesus for your sins. Mm-hmm. It didn't just like heal your body from like a wound. It healed your soul from the guilt and shame. And then it now keeps you safe because when he was resurrected, he showed that he's imperishable. So nothing physical that could ever happen to you, including death. Well, that's powerful. That's why it said for us who are being
saved. Death is
saved,
no longer a problem.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Hang on. Let's take a break. So one of my favorite sponsors, I love all our sponsors, but one of my favorite ones is a group called 40 Days for Life. And Lisa and I have done a lot of work with them. Lisa has written blogs and, you know, has a great relationship with this group. But they do a lot of work on behalf of the unborn. And they have grown amazingly. They started out one little place down in College Station, Texas. Now they're in over 1,000 cities in 65 countries. They're having vigils. They help women hopefully change their mind about having an abortion. So wonderful group of people. They've written a book called What to Say When, The Complete New Guide to Discussing Abortion. Because a lot of times people out there on the pro-life side say, well, you know, this language they're using, reproductive health, all this stuff, how do we argue about that? How do we make our case, you know, other than just what we do with the Bible? And so we want to be able to, you know, have some resources to do that. And this book is fantastic. What to Say When, The Complete New Guide to Discussing Abortion, How to Change Minds and Convert Hearts in a Brave New World. You can go to Amazon and get it, or you can go directly to 40 Days for Life. So 40daysforlife.com is where we're going to go. And I suggest you do that anyway. Check these guys out. Find out what you can do to get involved. 40daysforlife.com. What do you call it, Dad? Eternal health care?
Eternal health care.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Forget about Obamacare or anybody else that tries to come up with some kind of universal health care.
None of it lasts.
Won't last.
But having said that, it's way more than just getting those two things, healing and security. Because once you are being saved, which is a process that you live out and you become God's spokesman or spokeswoman, you then get to experience it. And if I could just throw in another verse to prove that, when he said in chapter 1 and verse 9, or I can read verse 8 and 9, he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is faithful. So we're called into fellowship, which is an experience with not only the Jesus that saved us and healed us and gives us safety and security, and why we don't worry about the stock market. It's also a fellowship. It's an experience. So you think about, I wrote down a few things. What does the power of God allow me to experience? And these were just things that come off the top of my head. My origin, my perspective, my priorities, my purpose, my counsel, how to resolve conflict, my confidence, how to start over, my wisdom, clarity, courage, all these things I get to experience because the Spirit of God and who Jesus is. So if you look at the opposite, because it says to those, for the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. So they look at the cross of Christ and they see foolishness, which I thought, how is that possible? I mean, to me, it's kind of like if you went outside and stared at the sun and you said, it's not bright. Well, if you conclude that, there's probably something wrong with your eyes. And my point is, once you experience the foolishness, because it is foolishness, but just like it's contrary to experiencing the power of God, if you go out there and experience foolishness, and we know what this is, you know, getting drunk or chasing, you know, just a little short term, well, that's just foolish. But if you experience that over a period of time, you will actually look at the cross of Jesus and say, it's foolish.
Yep.
Or think about it in their world. You know, you're from Athens. You're a Epicurean philosopher. You're wealthy. You know, maybe you go down to Corinth just for your, you know, just for the physical part of your. Then somebody comes along and said there was a guy, an Israeli guy, that is the Son of God. And if you obey him and follow him, you'll have eternal life. I mean, even in their century, it was like, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Exactly.
I mean, that's foolishness.
So I wrote down some of the qualities when you experience foolishness. This is what comes with it. Bitterness, panic, blame, fear, rage, confusion, doubt. And that really is.
It's a world full of it.
So, and what does Paul, what is he making the point here? Your view of Jesus Christ, God, the divine nature hanging on a cross for you, you can look at your experiences and see how you view that. The power of God or foolishness.
And the filthy rich, the ones who really have it, a lot of money, when they read, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. They weren't brains. It's for everybody.
Right.
And the ones you say, half a bubble off, you say, you know, that guy. Think about what you were. Not many of you were influential. You weren't big shots at all. Not many were of noble birth, you know, your family's wealth, and they, no. This is the ragtags of society that everyone says they're not worth the death of God. But they were. God says, all of you, come together. But God chose the foolish thing of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It's because of him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, we're right before God because Jesus' death on a cross and his holiness and redemption. Therefore, it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord, because at your dying breath, that's all you got. That's all you have.
I was literally fixed to read that.
Were you? Hey.
Because I thought that. I'm not a very smart person. We've established that. But Jesus makes me wise.
That's what it says.
I'm a human, just like have the same lust, temptations, all these things. But Jesus provides that character, that compass point where I can look at the cross and say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Or when I do, I feel bad because I think that's why Jesus died on a cross.
I've never read writings that made sense. Until I read the Bible, I've read all the other religions and all of that. I've never read anything so shocking in all my life about eternity riding on it. One person who ever lived, I still go back to, I just can't see how anybody would at least stop and say, We count time by Jesus Christ. Everything before him is called everything before him, B.C. And then there's A.D. They've tried to, the atheists and all have tried to rearrange all that. But when you look at that, you say one individual and your calendar lying on your table is marked on him, on his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's hard to do.
Yeah, and that's
they're never going to count time by me or you, Al.
No, let's take a break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
And it's interesting because one of our listeners sent me an email, Dad, and she's trying to share with a friend of hers, and this person, you know, just is not ready yet, you know, which was my response. Look, Jace is right. When the cross is not enough, it's not going to be how much you can do. Because when she made the point you just made, well, we count time by Jesus. He said, yeah, but, you know, Muslims count time by the same calendar we do. That doesn't prove anything to me. But he missed the point that they don't count time by Muhammad.
No.
It's being counted by Jesus, which is her point. But I think it's a good thing for us to always realize that verse Jace read that started here in 17, it's never going to be human wisdom. It's never going to be marketing strategies. No. It's never going to be some slick plan. I mean, I said yesterday in my sermon that I cringe when I look back over my life as a young minister as to how much I thought it was about what I knew and how to say versus just the power of the cross.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I went to more seminars and read more books about evangelism and all this stuff. And again, I was doing it with a good heart. I wanted to reach people, but I missed the point of what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 1:17. It's not about you and how good you are, how much you can do. Unless you're proclaiming Jesus and him crucified, it's not going to work anyway. And look, if that's not enough for a person, then they're not ready.
I think the subtleties in here, because most things that we try to become smart at, or especially in the education system, it's like the more education you have and the more letters you have behind your name, people think the smarter you are because you put all this in here.
Jace, I went on a 7, close to 8 year run being educated.
Yeah.
At a great university.
How was your life during that time?
Pathetic. And look, I think it worthy of note because after all of that, I had the paper, the sheepskin, which proved I was supposed to be pretty smart, but not true. But what got me was I said, once I was converted, did I ever hear any instructor at any time, just one time, mention the word Jesus? All that education, I got the degrees. I never heard him say a word about him. Not one word, Al.
That's right. Well, you know what my...
If I heard him say God, it would be followed with a damn.
Right.
It was not... They never spoke of... And that's...
Jesus as a...
And that's back in the 60s.
Expletive, yeah.
That's in the 60s. And I thought to myself, I said, well, no wonder I ended up where I ended up. I said, I'm chasing my own tail just round and round at a circle.
So the perfect story that to illustrate that, the fallacy of all that, is the guy that went hunting with y'all this morning. We call him Dr. Deans. He's from Mississippi. He paints houses, and he's good at it. And old Dr. Deans, he got a credit card application in the mail. It said you could check off Mr., Mrs., or Doctor. And he said, well, you know, I've always wanted to be a doctor. He said, doctors seem to be treated
he's
pretty well.
He's probably going to have some law enforcement official.
Well, I'm not giving his whole name. Yeah. So he checks off doctor on the credit card. And when it comes in the mail, he gets it. He says, look at there, Dr. Deans. And he said what he noticed was when he used that card at a hotel or something,
they treated him
way better.
Yeah. Oh.
They treated him better. And he said, so I thought, well, I should have been a doctor a long time ago.
That's why I mentioned, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. You read that, you say, what is he trying to say there? You say, this is for all the ones that you didn't think were worth saving.
Exactly.
He said, come on in. Bring you on in. He's almost saying when you get filthy rich or real famous, you probably won't make the cut.
That's right. But from a worldly...
Because you think you can do it on your own. You don't need God. Get that Bible out of my face.
From a worldly perspective, it shows you that we respect all the wrong things. You know, we just think because somebody's smarter, because they're famous.
And we chase after the wrong things.
Exactly. And that's why he said, that's why God chose the lowly. That's why he chose the weak. Because it shows his power.
Well, I'm glad he did, is all I got to say.
It takes me to the end, Jay's, all the way to the end of 2 Corinthians, which we'll eventually get there, that he said when he appealed to Jesus to take away his weakness, and he said, no, because my power is made perfect in your weakness. And really, that's what grace is at its core. It's something you can't earn.
That's right.
You can't attain it by your means, by your goodness.
No.
It's a gift from God.
Yeah. And he said that in verse 3, grace and peace.
Right.
But I wanted to do this. Weird you brought that up. You didn't know I was going to do this. But when you think about what a letter is about, I mean, I have a bad habit when I do read a book other than the Bible. I like to go to the last page and just read it. Because I think, if it's not that great, why would I want to read the rest of it getting up there? I mean, you think, well, that ruins it. But I'm like, because whatever they say at the end, they don't want you to miss. This is the moment. So I'm like, let's just cut to the chase here and save me some time. Cut to the chase, Jace. So I did think this interesting. If you use that principle on 1st and 2nd Corinthians, this will be a good introduction to where we're going to go. In the last chapter of 1 Corinthians 16:21, Paul says, I write this in my own hand. If anyone who does not love the Lord, a curse be on him, come, O Lord. And by the way, that term Lord, capitalized, referring to Jesus, is mentioned over 90 times in 1 Corinthians. Hmm. So when you think, what was one of the problems at the church of Corinth that I've never heard mentioned? They had a hard time viewing Jesus as Lord, or I don't think he would have said it over 90 times. He is Lord.
Yep.
Research what that means. Then he says, to your point now, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, my love to all of you in Christ Jesus. And then if you read the last verse of 2 Corinthians, which I even like a little better, one of the most controversial passages of all times, greet one another with a kiss, 2 Corinthians 13:12.
What about COVID?
All the saints send their greetings. Now listen to this. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you all, which is what you said earlier. I'm riding with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So when you combine the two, what he didn't want you to miss is the grace of the Lord Jesus and the experience and fellowship. I mean, God is relational. It's not just some letter you're going to read and then try to memorize and quote where all the verses are. He's pointing you to an actual being. Granted, it's a three-pronged being that it's hard to even describe. But it's something you experience and have fellowship with, and the reality of that is so far beyond your education or your knowledge. This is, I have been connected to a person who's way more complicated than me, but.
And you're in a third world country, and an old woman with dirt floors, but somebody, some missionary stumbled up in there and told about it. She received Jesus as Lord, and she's on par with all the rest of them, like this.
That's right.
No one is any higher in the kingdom than she is.
That's right.
You say, that would be a wonderful thing to accomplish to do that. That's what God accomplished through Jesus by sending him to die for us, be buried and raised.
She is a co-heir of the universe.
Co-heir of the universe.
Right alongside a rocket scientist that accepts Christ at NASA.
Scratching for one meal, they'll kill a varmint and make some kind of dish out of it, you know, just barely making it, you say, but she has the knowledge of God in her heart, so it's pretty cool, I tell you.
Well, we're out of time, but thanks to Jay, since we read the last verses, that's basically the study of 1 Corinthians. We did it all in one podcast. So
no, my point was, you now, oh, this sounds interesting. Now let's go back
and
read it from
the
first.
We're done. I hope you enjoyed the study. No, I got it. I got
you
it.
You see what I mean?
I got it.
We did a test. It always works
because
he always ends in grace and then a relational aspect
right.
of it.
And it also shows you the beginning and the end is why you study the middle. I like that.
Thank you.
So we'll study the middle next time.
Did you find out who old Sosthenes was?
We'll talk about him next time.
I wondered the same thing.
Yeah.
Next time.
Acts 18, maybe?
Next time.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.